Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
July 5, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, it is Tuesday, and we are live at this time, but most of you will catch it later on and all that good stuff via the podcast. However, if you're hearing us live tonight, gotta tell you, you have an interesting opportunity because, as it has been planned every week and last week, a last-minute situation emerged, so we could not do what we had planned on Tuesday. But most Tuesdays, as per plans, if, weather or the internet or, frankly, the death of my dog doesn't get in the way, Christy Aphrodite joins us on Tuesdays, on Tuesday, that is. TYR, goddess of death and all that. Anyway, there's a reason why the names of the days of the week are named as such. But that's not the topic of discussion for tonight. Christy Aphrodite, mytrueessence.net, and of course, ChristyAphrodite.com. What does she do? Well, she does a lot of stuff that's got nothing to do with the .coms or the .nets, but in the real world, literally, natural stuff, getting in touch with nature, grows things. There is always this phrase, I cannot remember what it is, she calls the Church of Whatever in Arkansas. She's going to let us know about that and tell us about the conditions there tonight. And hey, added bonus, you, the listener, if you're hearing us live, we went to air late. So it's about 20 after 8 p.m. Eastern time in what we used to call America on that particular Tuesday or Tuesday. And it is the day after Independence Day. So it is July 5, 2022, just a bit after 8 p.m. Eastern. That means you can join into the live show. And if not, well, you'll be calling a show that already happened. But anyway, if you're hearing us live, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, that is the number to call, or you can message me, charles.ocelli on Skype. And frankly, only if you're going to bring in relevant conversation, okay? We're going to talk about nature. We're going to talk about natural solutions or soul ablutions. We're going to talk about the things that might be just right around you that the planet has provided that can do things for you instead of big pharma, instead of the, well, what would we call that? The corporate agricultural machine, right? It's almost a complex like the military industrial. It's like the agricultural industrial complex out there that produces all this GMO nonsense and garbage that a lot of other civilized nations won't even allow their people to get their hands on. But welcome to America, where you can get all the garbage you can possibly desire and afford. And then again, maybe you can't afford much because we're all getting squeezed. But these might be the topics for tonight. And I'm going to chill and try and hopefully you guys will take over. Call in 319-527-5016. And have the great conversations with the one and only Christy Aphrodite. Christy, how you doing tonight?
I'm sorry, that just makes me laugh.
Listen, I'm trying to do the you know, professional sounding, almost, you know, radio announcer.
You're so good at it. And yeah, I guess I mean I am the one and only. We're all the one and only, right? Of who we are, but that's adorable.
Listen, there's only one of you. You got to admit that.
That, without a doubt. Yeah, I have seen a few clones before, so yeah, that's all right. I like my particular shade of crazy, and I hope that we all learn to embrace our own uniqueness. And because life is more fun that way.
Well, universally, I love it when there are people that don't know you. They'll often say, you know, they hear a little piece of you on the show and they go, yeah, that chick's a little out there, huh? She's a little out there. She's a little crazy.
A little? Keep listening.
Well, if they only listen to you for 10 minutes, I mean, be fair. You might be, you know, not crazy for 10 minutes or not as crazy as you could get. So, but and meanwhile, by the way, anybody thinks I'm insulting Christy right now? I'm complimenting her repeatedly.
That's how we roll here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you know I love you. So the thing is, I love this kind of crazy because this kind of crazy is what the world needs. But anyway, when people don't know you and they're not familiar with you, they go, she's a little crazy. She's got some interesting things to say. And I go, yeah, keep listening. Now, people that know you, you know, their description differs a little. But common thread, you know, that chick's crazy. But she knows what...
People who know me actually think I'm pretty cool. And believe it or not, like the most rational person they've ever met.
Well, but the thing is, you didn't let me finish, right? That chick's crazy, but she knows what she's talking about, or she knows her, you know, to be more polite, because I'd like to send this out to the AMs and FMs, because I've been slacking. You know, they're doing replays on me now, because I haven't sent out fresh material. I took some time off. But anyway, yeah, let's just say they would tell me that, well, she knows her poop, right? She knows of which she speaks, and they do say it in a less polite way, but it's like, yeah, she's a nut, but she's a healthy nut, because, you know, she's got good information, and even if you think she's kooky, she's better than the average cookie. So that's the way that works.
If I am kooky, I'm a healthy kooky who has overcome things that most people alive never will even experience, yet alone have the fortitude to be able to overcome.
Right.
And I am passionate about sharing how this all happened and how I made it through, you know, with the world. So not everybody likes self-responsibility. I totally admit I can come off sounding pretty harsh. I mean, but let's be real. I've been doing this for like 17 years. And I am pretty old and crony and curmudgeon-y these days. You know, and even me talking about things, it's like, well, what can I say that I haven't said the last 17 years? And if they haven't listened, you know, yet, or haven't heard me yet, like, why even repeat myself, you know? So I will just say, I do know that I sound a little intense sometimes, and you know, but that is my passion for what I do, and I don't know how to use flowery words. I just try to get straight to the point,
right,
and get as much information on whatever health related or gardening or self-sufficiency, whatever responsibility topic that we can do, because I'm frankly tired of listening to nonsense, really. Mm-hmm. Or people tell you how great they are over and over and over, or talk about, you know, life on Mars or this and that. Look, let me tell you, man, we got real shit going on right here, right now. And my intention is to help people live a better, freer, more healthful, more abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And, exactly. You know, I've kind of been trying to do that without ever selling a thing or even making a dollar at my own sacrifice. And so, yeah, if that makes me crazy, that's cool.
Well, see,
I would definitely much rather be this kind of crazy than the kind of crazy whose people's heads are in the sand right now.
Exactly. And what you're doing is, you know, you just gave people a completely, fully rational, concise statement about your mission, effectively. And that's the truth. That's all there is to it. Now, there are some people who go, well, she's, you know, all kind of hippie-ish and this and that. Everybody takes you a little differently, but...
It's hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very, very funny.
There's you can ask 15 different people, describe Christy Aphrodite, and you get, like, a description of 15 different people.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, but really, all that is reflections of the speaker, right?
Right.
Because... what's that word? But by their fruits you will know them. That verse, yeah.
Oh,
by
yeah.
their fruits you will know them. And you know, there's nothing about my background or anything I've said or done or work related or mission related that is out of alignment with what I'm saying today, right? So it's pretty easy to see I've been consistent with my passion throughout the years. So it's intense for people. That's
exactly.
Cool. That's fine. Go to the bar, have fun, turn on the game, and you know, I'm going to talk about real shit and try to make a better tomorrow.
Listen, I'm all for it. And here's the thing. It's a choice that you're offering people. And you have this information, which was hard earned because a lot of bumps and bruises along the road that you had to travel to get here. Okay. I'm being, you know, polite and not trying to elaborate too much. But I mean, the reality is, you know, you earned this knowledge. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not stuff that you know, you just sat around reading for a while. And by the way, nothing wrong with doing a lot of reading. But the thing is, you've lived this, and so
it's crazy. Like people who want to mock me over it, mm-hmm. like I want to know who else gives their life's work away freely for not one single dollar. Who houses, feeds, clothes, teaches people literally daily while keeping up with an 18-hour work schedule to keep her animals and plants and everything else alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get to go to anybody else's business and get all of their hard work and their knowledge or their PhD or whatever else for free, right?
Right.
So that's another reason why I may sound harsher or more direct or just more straight to the point these days is because, like, my time is worth something, you know what I'm saying? And I don't actually care who values it or not, but I am here for the people who do value it. So thank you for this platform, Chuck, and just for being you and appreciating my craziness.
I love it. And look, it's a gift. So, you know, let's begin because we have no actual agenda tonight. And if people call in and they have stuff that they want to discuss specifically, we'll go into it and see what we can work with because everybody's situation is different. But really, let's just recognize the fact that despite the strangeness and the fact that we had to cancel the past couple of shows, this is a recurring gift, okay, of knowledge that Christy is giving all of us. And we should be thankful for that. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. And as per always, I like that. As per always, you have the option to turn it off. But if you do, I guarantee you, you're going to miss some knowledge and some workable things.
Yeah, keep going to the doctor, man. How's that working out for you? Keep buying your freaking Walmart drugstore crap. How's that working out? Go for it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like there's no skin off our noses at all.
No, not at all. And look, it's a learning process. I mean, let's not forget that you out there, you might take a suggestion or an idea from one of these shows and run with it. Maybe it doesn't quite work out because you need to adjust it for yourself. Everything is on an individual basis. But anyway, let's begin this conversation. I'm going to try and frame it as best I can, but who knows where we're going to go over the course of it'll probably be about an hour and 45 more. You know, I want to start with what you're facing at the moment there. And what do you call that place again? The Arkansas Church of what?
Ozarks Church of Nature.
Ozarks Church of Nature. Why can't I put that phrase in my head? Anyway, good to have you repeat it. And, of course, you'll hear an ad during our break for MyTrueEssence.net. But it's not about selling those products there. It's about, again, the gift of the ideas, the gift of the experience, and you're re-gifting that which was gifted to you by your experiences. So let's start with what's going on there because, look, in various parts of this place we used to call America, there are some environmental interests that are clashing with one another. There are places where people are having a hard time getting water, whether it's contaminated or not, through their various systems. And, you know, Flint wasn't the only place that was giving poison water to people, etc. I also want to thank Nature Boy, who recently made it so I could have some new filtration. Just appreciate that. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go about collecting the rainwater, but at least I have a way to get some cleaner water now than I had before. So just want to say thanks to you, my brother. And you know, and it is one of those things you can build yourself. But let's go back to the Ozarks Church of Nature, because you've had a bit of a struggle lately. Now, geographically, you're not really that far from me, but quite honestly, I'm in one of those areas that is a bit different and has been drenched lately. Plenty of moisture and water here falling from the sky. Everything's wet. I definitely see how we are subtropical. You know, the old phrase we used to hear from old people about Arizona and such. Yeah, it's 103 degrees, but it's a dry heat. I never used to buy them.
Well, it's 110 every day, and it's a wet heat, but we're not having any rain. And so where I live in the Ozarks, let me tell you, we have more annual rain than where I lived in the rainforest, or more annual rain than Seattle and all these places that supposedly get a lot of rain, right? And in June, we average a month a week, like at least. We're July 5th now, and it's been all of June and all of July already with not a drop. And there has been some rain like around us a little bit, but they say it hasn't been that much. But here we haven't had any. So thankfully, I do have a spring-fed well, but I have one hose, and I have been watering from morning till after dark every day, 18 days in a row. Now, I did some watering before that, right? But now it's all day, night, till I fall asleep and can't keep my eyes open anymore, just to maybe keep half of everything I have planted alive.
Well, see, a lot of the stuff that we had here in Georgia has died, and it's not because of the lack of water. It's because of the intense heat. It's kind of... gone ahead of itself and sort of killed things prematurely that we had planted here. Now, I didn't have anywhere near the type of planting that you have. But again, always good, no matter where you are, if you can find a way to plant stuff in the soil, in the area you live in. And this is a concept you and I have talked about before. It's always good to eat locally. It's always good to eat things that are and use things that are for medicine that are actually from the area you're in. That is best. I mean, sometimes you got to import stuff. I get it. But relatively speaking, the most beneficial thing in the world to do is to get stuff from the area in which you live. It just is, it works along better with your metabolism. Okay. It just does. Your body is going through changes and is connected in some way to your environment. So if you work with your environment, it's always better. Now, some of the stuff that we had, a little more delicate, has died quicker and things like this. So we're just sort of redoing it, you know, and trying to reestablish a couple of things. And I've also gone back to the thing that I talked to you about a couple of weeks ago, where you just find things that are seeded, add it to your compost. All right. Like, I'm fully expecting that there's going to wind up being some sort of cucumbers at some point that might emerge. Because I threw a lot of cucumbers that had kind of gone past their time for eating. Because they start to go to mush, you know, if you get too many of them. And I acquired them from somebody locally. I've also acquired some other stuff from people locally that grew in their yards or their gardens. And added it to my compost. We put some pumpkin out there. And the pumpkin got choked off by some other plant a bit. But it survived in one section. You know, because I'm not trying to separate these things too much. I'm sort of just seeing what organic patch I can come up with. This is not a bad idea. It may not be the most, you know, immediately productive idea, but you're
It's something. Yeah. Hey, the fact that you're talking about, like, taking some of that advice and just putting it out there and seeing what happens. I mean, first of all, it's more than 90% of the people are doing. And yeah, any single thing we do is better than everything we don't do.
Right.
So I salute you for that. I think that's pretty cool that you're trying. I'll just say even my compost, watermelon and things like that, they're all gone. Like, gone. Weeds gone. Native plants. Like, in the forest even.
Right.
Persimmons, blackberries, even sages, all the self-heal's gone, the nettles are gone, lamb's quarter's gone, the weeds can't even survive without me watering them.
Well, and it's been
like,
intense.
That's how bad it is. And yeah. I hesitate even like talking about it because it sounds like I'm complaining, right? But really, if I'm one person and this is happening to me, what do you think is happening to my neighbors or other people in this region that we make a living off of growing food? And it doesn't just end with the food, okay?
Right.
Because people are giving away or selling or killing their livestock right now because they can't feed them because the pastures are all dried up.
Right.
Okay? And that's serious. And guess what? Dried up pastures means no hay. So guess what that means? Whatever livestock you have in the winter doesn't get to eat. Okay? So, you know what I mean? It's kind of serious. Yeah. And I don't want to fearmonger, but I can't deny that there is definitely a bit of worry in me because I know how the food supply works, and I know that people are dependent on, Franken foods and things like that, right?
Right.
And, I guess it's okay because there's a new, like, cricket factory that's, will give us bugs and Soylent Green and Impossible Burgers and all of that. Yeah. Wonderful.
Right.
Okay. But those of us that care about our food and are into real food and real medicine, speaking of medicine, Chuck, if I can't keep the weeds alive, what do you think that's going to do to my prices on the very few weeds that I do have that have to last all year?
Right. Well,
again, I'm just one person.
Right. Well, look, I'm trying to go from the positive and the negative end of this because it's negative in that it's killing off a lot of things that could flower and bear fruit, in the immediate future. But at the same time, a lot of the stuff that is dying and going back into the ground is going to make the soil better off for what we do next. But it's kind of like, a game of patience. And now what do you do in the meantime? You wanted to try and supplement your food a bit. And I'm on a very small scale compared to what it is you're doing. You got to admit that the heat in and of itself, even without the changes in how much, precipitation we're getting and all that, which, by the way, if you guys hear popping noises and all this kind of stuff, people are still lighting off their fireworks and they're legal here. So going to hear a lot of fireworks and also some gunfire. Because they do that in Georgia. They just shoot their guns in the air. So I wouldn't be looking to waste bullets right now if I was them. But to each his own. Anyways, so the thing is, I'm trying to look at this from a bunch of different angles. And as these things do die and return to the earth, the one positive is that it's going to, give nutrients to the soil on some level. But in the meantime,
that sounds great when you haven't, like, I don't need to rack up my or tell my debt figure numbers here, but I'll just say for more than a year, I spent more than my mortgage building this food forest.
Right.
So, and they are like dying to the point where they're never coming back, kind of thing.
Well,
and again, it's not just me and poor Christy and Ozarks Are to Nature. I want people to really, really think about this. And if you are in a place like Chuck that does have water and the native plants and drought-tolerant plants like, say, mullein and echinacea and things aren't dying, I'm just saying this is going to affect the whole thing. So,
right. Well, no, it's going to have an effect on everybody is my point. And I'm trying to be patient and positive about it. But like you said, look, it's going to have a serious effect. And
we got to get real. You know what I mean? We've been trying to be positive for a long time. And I certainly have. And I still am. And I give thanks every minute. My wells run dry three times, Chuck. during this process. And if I wasn't doing this show, I'd still be out there with that tiny little trickle, trying to go from plant to plant and choosing who gets to live and who gets to die, right? Like people are doing with their animals. And the only reason my animals are alive, really, is because I don't have like a whole farm with a whole herd that has to eat the same thing. Like I can still go and pick them branches from different trees and let them run in the forest because, you know, a lot of the forest is still alive. So, and they like that. They like the brush. They prefer that. Anyways, I pick up my herbs that I can't get to harvest and mix them all up. And they love that. But what about, you know, farmers that aren't growing these types of foods and weeds and relying on feed stores? Let me tell you, when I went to the feed store last, I asked for 8 bales of straw so I could use for my garden.
Right.
What the lady says, we're out. And then the one behind her, like, well, did we get that solved? And so I guess the manager went and found out that they had maybe like 12 bales left. And since I only needed 8 and I'm a small producer, they gave it to me, right? But that's all there was. And there was no hay. What are people's animals going to eat? Right. If their animals aren't eating and they're dying, right? These animals are the animals that get shipped to your grocery stores.
Right?
So 10,000 dead cattle or whatever supposedly happened in Kansas, if this keeps up, is going to be nothing.
Right.
So maybe that's enough of the, you know, again, I don't want it to sound fear-mongery. I'm just saying, please consider making sure yourselves and your family are fine, and no matter what it is. And like I said, Chuck, I've been fasting not because I want to, but because I literally don't have time to eat, trying to keep up and every ounce I have in me to fight and win. That's everything I have. Like I would not be able to feed myself in a grocery store. I don't have that kind of income.
Right.
I don't, you know, this is my life. Every ounce of energy, every dollar I've ever made, which isn't that many, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is on this. And I just want to say again, I'm not the only one, okay? I'm not the only one that is struggling trying to grow food or nourish their animals.
Well, of course. Right. So the overall message here is that, look, there's going to be pressure on a lot of small producers here, which is going to make virtually everybody have to turn to, unfortunately, these larger enterprises that have the resources to keep the animals going, to keep the their particular crops going. And what is that going to do?
Their wells are running dry, too.
Well, no, some of them are.
And look at what the Dutch government just did. You know, shut down, I forget, 23 or... don't even quote me on that.
No, I'm just trying to get
down,
at...
I believe, 23 farms because of too many emissions or whatever. And the people are rioting because they know there's no food with those farms shut down.
Right. No, look, and I'm not trying to focus on the negative. I'm just saying that people need to consider this, that there is going to be a pressure here that's happening now, where that's going to have a residual effect over the next few months.
Because the things are growing now is what feeds people in the fall, right? And so, like, if we don't, the farmers don't get any apples because of these conditions, what fruit are you going to have in the winter, right?
Well, that's the thing, is I'm talking about, like, we're looking at this in the summertime when we're dealing with this heat, but it's going to put pressure on what is in the food supply come, say, Christmas time. That's where there's going to be a serious spike in the food prices again, I think, based on what we're seeing in the natural realm, okay?
And the lack of grain and all of that. Well, guess what? How are people going to feed? Let's fast forward 1 year from now.
Yeah.
After this drought. Like, what are you going to be eating in the spring if you make it through winter?
Oh, there you have it. But like I say, I'm not wanting to just hover on this, but I just want to recognize that, yes, you're having a problem, but this is going to be an overall system-wide problem as far as food delivery goes, and it's not going to matter. You know, somebody might say, well, look, I'm not relying on the small farmer and this and that, but you start eliminating them from being able to distribute and do what it is they would try to do normally, it's going to raise up the prices. It just is. By quantity, you know, like I've talked about the corn price now for the past couple of years, where corn was something that was so abundant at one point, I mean, you could find it at 10 cents an ear, right, in a grocery store, and not bad stuff either, like not, you know, completely like tastes like chemicals or has no flavor, but actual corn, good luck now. It's, you know, the price right now is okay, but over the course of the next 30 days,
How much is it for you out there?
Well, we found a sale, actually, where I've got some, and I was able to pick it up at 25 cents an ear. But
what?
Yes.
What? $1.50 at the cheapest.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that up until this recent influx of corn that I'm not even sure where it came from, that's where it was at. It is more like $1 or $1.10 for an ear of corn. So,
wow.
I'm thinking that we're going to return to that price. We have a temporary glut in the market locally.
Well, stock up, and you know what? Take one of those ears of corns, unwrap it, and then, like, stick it somewhere. You can leave some of the husks, you know, on the bottom, and then, you know, like, put it in your compost pile, right?
Yeah.
Just like that, laying sideways, and water it, and then it'll grow a whole bunch of corn.
Well, that's one of the things I'm definitely doing with it is I'm slicing off the ends, okay, and putting the ends in, and also trying to put as much of the leaves as I can in there. The silt, all of it is going in, okay, because...
Great, yeah, each of those kernels could potentially be a plant.
Right.
But, you know, corn plants... Like one plant, you might only get like 6 heads of corn, right?
Yeah, but that's
so
okay.
You have to grow a ton to get any. And I was actually reading on my weather app that they send me notifications. They were just talking about all of the corn crops in the Midwest here that normally rely on their inch of rain a week to be able to produce, but none of them have produced. They're not. They're there. There's green stalks.
Right.
But there's no corn on them.
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to pop me up, you know, like 6-8 plants, say, you know, just from the one spot. And if it does, that'll be beneficial to me, not in the immediate. But again, I'm trying to, you know, it's not fully organized. It's going to be an intermingled kind of area there.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to try and do here with this patch. But we also have some other stuff. We're trying to grow some flowers and things. But a bunch of those just, you know, absolutely started to come up and just failed as plants because of this heat. It's not normal for it to be this hot in June, honestly, as
it's
it was.
It's been over 100 every single day since it hit June. Well, actually, it started the end of May. But except for 4 days, it's been over 100. And when the weather lies... and says, oh, it's only 95 or it's only 101. I'll show you pictures of my thermostat every day. It's 110, 111, 112. It's crazy.
No, I said this too, where people were like, oh, well, Chuck, it only says it's like 102 where you are or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's what they tell you on the internet where I am. But I'm telling you now that I've got a thermometer.
And another interesting thing, the weather people keep calling it a heat dome. Mm-hmm. Huh. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, that's true. So, but look, I don't want to just focus on the heat wave because there's many more things to talk about here. But if you're in a place where you are lucky enough that your plants are surviving without a whole lot of intense care, I would say take advantage of that. And grow what it is that your area allows you to grow as best you can, because harvesting this stuff and everything else is going to be extremely beneficial to you, because I think we're going to have a serious spike when it comes to a lot of the, you know, again, a lot of the staple organic stuff that you could normally get a hold of at a reasonable price, although the prices have gone up lately. I think we're going to experience, you know, a price spike like we have with the meat. because meat has been on a crazy price spike for, you know, a year. But I think we're going to see now a lot of the plants, a lot of the stuff like, you know, staple things like tomatoes and things like this are going to really skyrocket because, frankly, a lot of the independent, the smaller producers are hamstrung right now. So I'm figuring 30 to 60 days from now, we're going to see a serious price spike. And it will be right on time for the holiday season where they're going to say, you know, prices are up because of the holidays, but it's not that. It's that we had serious pressures, and it may be both things at once, by the way, where people are going to take advantage of it because, you know, if you're not going to want to go out because you don't want to drive anywhere because gas is too damn expensive, then you're going to try and stay home and do some cooking maybe, right? Bring the family to the house, and that's going to be exorbitantly expensive over the holiday season. So I'm just saying, if you're able to keep your plants surviving and maybe producing stuff that'll be available for you to use in the next few months, I would definitely put a little extra care in there, spend a little extra time on it.
Please give thanks for everything you have growing, and please don't waste anything, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to can, learn to can, and let me tell you, it is so simple, okay? I know that all the recipes and tutorials and things out there try to scare people out of it, and you think you need, oh, good job, kitties, and you think you need, you know, special equipment and this and that. You literally don't. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about like food preservations and herb preservation, you know, you said you're growing flowers or building beds for cheap, like what you're doing right now, Chuck. Let's do that if you want. But I'm telling you, canning, it could be as simple as a crock pot and jars in the oven, and that's it. Or it could be as simple as boiling a sauce, like a marinara or a salsa, for 30 minutes and pouring it in a jar. Okay, I'm telling you, it does not have to be as difficult as we have been led to believe. Mm-hmm. In fact, in most cases, it is way, way easier than any complex meal or any, like, typical dinner I would make for somebody who's visiting.
Right. Well, yeah. There's a couple of things here. Also, I would say that freezing is not a bad idea if you have, you know, reliable, a decent-sized freezer.
And reliable power, right?
Right, reliable power as well. But freezing, now, when it goes to freezing, I would say, you know, in a lot of cases, you want to remove a lot of water from your vegetable-based stuff if you can. You're better off doing it so that it's almost like a what do they call that? Like a concentrated kind of situation where you add water or milk, depending on what it is, maybe to it, right? This is not a bad thing to do. However, if you're freezing meat, there are different techniques you can do to make stuff last longer and survive better. So I just want to tell you that, you know, there's ways of encasing meat in ice, believe it or not, that'll preserve it better. Now, you can do this inside of even, you know, again, cheaply with a Ziploc bag that is, you know, a fairly thick one, not the, you know, bottom line ones that you would maybe put cookies in or something. But, I mean, something that's got a little bit of strength to it. You can freeze these bags. And, I mean, I always freeze sauce. I always freeze stuff like, well, it ends up being, what do they call that, where it's like a base for a soup. A lot of times, why is the word eluding me? Either way, it's like I'll sit there and I'll boil chicken. I'll take the chicken fat, I'll strain it back out.
Your broth.
And I'll use it for broth.
Bone broth.
Yeah, there you go. Or even bones. You take the bones and you boil them. This will add nutrients to the water. And then I've got a soup that also contains some liquid that has nutrients in it. So when I add vegetables to it and stuff like that, you know, it's got a little bit of kick to it as far as, you know, being able to nourish you. Okay.
So check it out, Chuck. I freeze food like you in Ziploc single wraps, or if they're dishes, I cut them up, individually wrap you know, and I fill up the freezer, and mm-hmm. so I have ready-made meals for my trucker friends and, you know, anyone out, the neighbors. It's kind of one of my bartering things, right? But when you're making your bone broth, I'll tell you what, I know for a fact it takes extra time and energy to bring it back to the point to where you freeze it as it would be for you to just can it right there.
Oh, so you think canning would be better? Okay.
Well, I'm not saying it'd be better, and I'm not recommending my method, okay? It's hillbilly, but it works. In fact, I quit using traditional, I don't even use water bath canning method since 2012 or 13, I think. And the first time when I tried the hillbilly method from a local here back in, you know, Branson in the Ozarks, I did a video showing it, and it worked. And so I'm in these canning groups on Fakebook with some other old timers that are teaching me some tricks. But look, when you make your broth, if you want to freeze it, you have to like pour it in a flat pan, right? And let it cool and probably the next day before you can package it and stick it in the freezer.
That's usually best.
It's already in the pot and strained, and you have it at a boil for it. You know, you've already had it on the stove for probably 24 hours at that point, right? Bring it to boil, 34 minutes, stick it in your jar, and you can put those jars in the oven at like 200 or 220 or something like that if you want, in a dish. You know, put some water in the dish if you want. Okay. And then take the cans out and pour them right in the jars, pour them right in the jars, put the little round lid on and softly the ring, right? Don't do it tight, because if you do it tight and push it down, like, it could create a false seal. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it, right? But literally, if you poured it in the jars right when you were done and put the lids on, 30 minutes later, you'd be hearing ting, 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 ting. And then you'd have your, you could, it'd be shelf stable for at least a year.
Okay.
And there you go. So it would save you time. It would save you plastic as well. And just the whole cool, you know, because I pour mine in hotel pans and I make like big batches, like minimum a gallon. Sometimes two of sauces or soups or broths or whatever at a time. So I know the process to get it, you know, so that you can put it in the freezer. Okay. So yeah, the canning in that particular instance would save you time, Chuck.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, for me, I always make them in gallon portions. And yeah, it does take up a bit of time. But, you know, 1 gallon is a good way to work. Because I know I can feed, you know, there's three of us usually. But I also know with a gallon, I can add two more people to that with no problem. You know what I mean? And and everybody gets some. And again, if it's already packed with other stuff and I get a hold of some fresh ingredients, I'll mix them in, cook them back together with the fresh ingredients along with what I already froze. So I might have, you know, three generations of carrots in there. But it's okay, because that's what, you know, when I got a hold of them. Another thing I like to add later is like a little bit of onion and stuff like this. I mean, garlic I add throughout the process. Everything's got garlic in it, you know, that's me. But
gotta have garlic in everything.
Yeah. So, but anyways, okay. So here's one useful thing you could do. But and we'll get to more, like I said. And if you guys want to call in, 319-527-5016. More than happy to discuss other things on your mind. So where else does this take us, Christy? I mean, what else is on your mind when it comes to, okay, now we've got a bunch of things that maybe didn't survive so well recently. So we definitely want to take, if there's extra of anything that doesn't need to be consumed right away, we certainly want to store it. Don't let stuff go to waste. This is always a good thing. That's why I said about the bones and the chicken and everything. Because, look, and I know not everybody wants to eat meat, but if you're going to eat chicken, why not use every part of it, you know?
Absolutely. So, I mean, all of the natives of everywhere used to respect everything and utilize every hair, every feather, every neck bone, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, whatever it is you're eating, just respect it and have gratitude and waste not, want not. Not trying to sound like my grandma or anything, but I just feel like we are at those times where right. we really should be more conscious.
Well, we don't want to be we don't want to be grandma, but we got to recognize she had some good points. You know what I'm saying? So
It works for me, you know.
Exactly.
And if I don't know how to utilize all of something, I'll find a new way. And like your bones, after you boil them down, Chuck, you can literally use that for dog food. You could use it to nourish your garden, right? Bone meal. And like when I make my bone broth, I boil the bones down so much that when I grab them with my fingers, they disintegrate.
Right, they
so
start falling apart.
So that and some fat and some skin and some, you know, vegetables and herbs and maybe a little rice and stick that in a food processor or a blender, then you have homemade dog food.
Right. Look, it does work as dog food, but, you know, for me, most of it I'm making sure to put out in the garden because it's very helpful. A lot of people don't realize that, indeed, parts of animals that disintegrate and go into the ground, these things nourish the soil as well. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's where I'm going with it. I mean, I'm trying to, there's a whole bunch of things I'm doing that I'm experimenting with, actually, because with the recent happenings with my dogs, I've been trying to come up with healthier ways because Lucy's pregnant, so she's a bulging weenie dog. She's probably going to drop a couple of puppies, and very soon. So trying to feed her a little bit of extra protein, right? Because it's so funny. You see this little tiny Chiweenie that's looks like she's going to burst out the sides pretty soon. I mean, she's pretty big. Of course, that's where Bonnie came from in the first place. So who knows? Maybe we'll have the rebirth of Bonnie, so to speak.
Chuck. Anyways. So let's talk about that then. Mm. Healthy pets and herbs and weeds and medicine and things that are safe to give them to nourish them.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Got about 10 minutes. I'm sorry. We got about like 10 more minutes before we go to break. I think this would be a perfect thing to go through because believe it or not, we've almost been through an hour. So I think this would be a great thing, another piece of advice, some ideas about how to nourish your pets, because I know a lot of people that listen to this show either have pets or they have friends that are out in the wild that they feed. And look, some of this stuff is not going to be good for your squirrels. I know we got a couple of friends who like to feed their squirrels. But some of the other animals that are not primarily herbivores could use a variety of things that maybe you're not using in your kitchen. So if you wanted to feed some of those wild animals, or again, your dogs, your cats, they consume meat and a variety of products that in some cases could be made, like you said, with the bones, could be made or enhanced one way or another, instead of just going to the store and buying, you know, cans of food and trying to figure out which dry crap is right for them. You might be able to make a lot of stuff at home just from the things that a lot of other people might throw away that are still very useful and helpful.
I mean, people do waste a lot of food. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, even with just what, you know, the average consumer throws away, that might even, you know, unless it's like Stouffer's, whatever, microwave meals or things like that. But hey, desperate times, desperate measures. If that's all you have and your dog's happy, then do what you got to do, you know?
Right, right. Well, you do want to watch giving them too many processed things because there's so many preservatives and huge amounts of salt in a lot of that stuff that they use to preserve
right.
it. So I would steer away from it. But when you're working
right.
with, you know, when, right. you're, when you're working with raw stuff, I mean, we talked about grain a bit. We talked about, you know, the chicken, like you said, with the bones. You could literally, by the time you're done boiling them and everything, they fall apart in your hand. That stuff can be turned into like a bone meal without a problem. And I'm not saying just give that to your dog, but you can mix it in, you see, with some of these
Absolutely.
Other things. Some of the more chewy bits of chicken and things that, you know, again, I got bad teeth, so not exactly chewing it up all that good anymore. Some of that stuff is great for these dogs. If you can kind of grind it up, mix it up, you know, some of the cartilage and that. Not necessarily the big pieces of bones, because chicken bones are a little difficult for some animals to digest. But what I'm saying is some of the very soft cartilage and things that are, you know, like falling off. You're not going to eat it. You're not going to use it.
I blend it all up. All the broth, all the bones, all the fat, all mm-hmm. the, like, all of it. And right. that's, yeah.
And, like, I don't like to eat duck eggs. But if you end up with duck eggs, listen, dogs like duck eggs, though.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Animals, pets, pretty much all of them, right? Except, I mean, my goats wouldn't like them, but the chickens, the dogs, the cat, oh, the bunnies wouldn't like them either. They're vegan.
Yeah, they're vegan. But, you know, your cats, your cats will eat duck eggs, right?
I am sure. A neighbor just gave me a bunch of different kinds of eggs, and I'll be having my own duck eggs here soon.
Cool.
So I'm excited about that. But, all, you know, quail, what are those loud ones? I can't think of the name of right now.
Well, I'll tell you,
they have a hard shell, and they were great. They're amazing. And
right.
Yeah.
I do want to raise some chickens, but I'm glad I didn't get chickens this year because of this heat, to be honest with you, because they would become another management problem for me on a small piece of property. But chickens are not a bad thing to have.
It's tough in the heat, but honestly, they're not that difficult to take care of. And chickens being omnivores, they eat everything, and they will totally clean up your yard of bugs. Like, I have a Japanese beetle problem that particularly loves my passion flower and chaseberry, which happens to be right next to where they are. So I'll flick them off. You know, and when my friend's here, he'll pick them all off because he doesn't mind touching bugs. But, yeah, I flick them so hard they bounce off the greenhouse. And the chickens and ducks and turkey are just so happy to eat up all their bugs. So, yeah, they're really easy and affordable to feed, right, because they are omnivores and they'll eat anything. And really, like, if you know anyone who works in a restaurant or something, like most of the restaurants I've worked at, or at least the fine dining ones, we would, and in different areas, would have different buckets for, you know, some employees or a customer's goats, and then another bucket for the chickens, right? So all the raw food goes in the one, and then everything else goes in the chicken buckets, and we'd stack them up, and, you know, I'd bring some home to feed the ones on the farm I was on. But, you know, if you know somebody who works in a restaurant and asks them to put a little bucket next to where they scrape the plates, right, then you can get some extra feed that way.
That's always good, because, again, the feed stores are going to start charging a hell of a lot more as there are problems with them being able to source things, because some of these feed stores end up with local sourcing, even though they have the, you know, the big name. I forget the big name products. I haven't been in a feed store in a bit, but I know they get, you know, stuff that's packaged from particular companies, but they usually have at least, you know, a couple of barrels of things that come in from local sources, and they're mixed. Some people go and get it for their hogs. I know, you know, some people have some hogs and stuff like that. But honestly, like you said, chickens eat almost anything. You want to consider what you're feeding the chickens, though, because that's what's going to go into the eggs, right? And, So, you know, it's one thing to keep track of that, but
they love weeds, they love herbs, they love nuts, they love sunflower seeds. You can get like a 50-pound bag of sunflowers. Sunflower seeds at a feed store for relatively cheap still these days, right?
At the moment.
And if you choose the best ingredients for your babies and choose to make your own feed, it's cheaper than buying the big name feeds.
Right. So back to this thing about pets, though, right? Somebody might be saying, okay, so look, I feed myself normally, and I want to try and, you know, not always give the dogs. You used to tell us don't give the dogs people food. Well, no, you don't want to give it to them with all, again, the salt and the different.
I agree with that, but I'm not telling anyone what to do. And like I said, desperate times, desperate measures. So I ain't going to judge anyone if they're giving them their, you know, terrible food right now.
No, listen, I've always shared with my dogs what it is I had to work with. But the thing is that if you're, you know, really trying to make sure that they've got a decent, healthy diet, there's a bunch of scraps, again, that could be repurposed, like we talked about with the bones. But there's other stuff, like let's just say, you know, you have chicken, you take the skin off. Chicken skin, if it's you can process that and spread it out throughout their food. I'm not saying give them whole bowls full of chicken skin. But
definitely pour some of your bone broth in their food.
Right. All that stuff.
Even if you juice, like juice pulp, like carrots, or, you know, I used to put my carrot or celery or cucumber, you know, things like that pulp aside. I'd use, you know, it for other things too, but you can put that if you want to make your own dog food.
Well,
for example.
And a lot of the stuff where you're cutting off, say, the top of something, like a lot of times the carrots that I end up with, I keep mentioning carrots because I had, I don't know, 15 pounds of carrots all of a sudden. So I was cutting off, you know, like the tops because they were starting to go a little bad, you know. But you take that, you grind it up along with all this other stuff we're talking about, and, you know, it makes some interesting colors in their food. But there's nothing wrong with some carrots in their food, along with that bone broth, the chicken skin. Again, you know, we're talking a lot of poultry here because I'm talking about eggs and things. But all this stuff is actually good for them. You know, for the most part, you got to check. You know, some dogs have issues, digestive issues or whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, you got different animals, especially the ones that, you know, like dogs and cats that do eat meat and all that. You can mix it all together. Now, there's some stuff you should probably avoid, though, grain-wise. And I can never remember that. Can you think of off the top of your head the stuff that you're supposed to kind of avoid grain-wise with them?
Okay, so I personally don't give any of my furred animals any grain. And there are quite a few grain-free choices these days, and I know that they're super expensive in the places that most people go. So again, I'm going to recommend going to the feed store and don't get the bags that are on the shelves again, because it's, you know, you might as well just go buy it from somewhere else. But they have 50-pound bags like we used to be able to buy on the shelves of grain-free off-brand, which are the same ingredients for, like, probably at least less than half. So if you're giving them that. But honestly, raw is always best.
Right.
For our carnivorous, furred, you know, pets. But obviously if you're not raising your own or you don't have a good hookup, of which there are places where you could buy bones, right? Or even get some from a farmer and just chewing on those big, you know, cow bones and things like that to get minerals is a good way to supplement your baby's diet.
Right.
Things like kelp are good. Right. And believe it or not, even herbs that we eat, so like dill or basil or thyme or oregano, you know what I mean? Dandelions, of course. So
here's those damn dandelions again.
Right. And, you know, because when I was growing up, they would say, oh, if the dog's trying to eat some clover or, you know, something in the yard, it's because they have a kidney infection or, you know, there's something wrong with them, right? But that's not true. If they were running wild, they would pick the herbs that they need when they need them, whether it's because they need the fiber or the magnesium,
right,
or the phosphorus or the potassium or whether they need, you know, something with some antimicrobial or antibacterial properties, or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, everyone in nature except us naturally gravitates towards what they need.
Right.
And I know we love our fur babies so much and we're afraid to give them nature, just like we're afraid to try nature ourselves. But, you know, even mint. In fact, when I pick my herbs and weeds and everything to go give the goats, the dogs always grab the mint and run off with it. You know, ginger, most of us, I'm sure, have that in our cabinet, right? Or parsley or sage. Like, you could literally make teas with these herbs and, you know, put some of it in their water bowl to help fight infections and things like that. Of course, there's also wormwood, even horsetail, man, or forsythia, those beautiful yellow flowers that we talked about in another show. I don't think we talked about the medicinal properties and helping fight infections in, like, chickens and pets. And again, PubMed has all the studies on there. But, yeah, we can supplement our pet's diet, just like ourselves, with all of the nutrients that these things contain, right? And all of those herbs I mentioned have at least vitamin A, C, and K. And many of them have D's and B's and omega-3s and, you know, all of the other things I mentioned, magnesium, including silicon, zinc, iron, you know, antioxidants, things that we're not really getting in our diet. So I'm a huge proponent. I would really love to encourage people to get more herbs into their life, whether it's a dandelion or not. Even if it's just all those I mentioned, parsley, oregano, sage, thyme, basil, dill, you know, even if it's just those little changes, or making a nice little basil tea or a sage tea, which, by the way, can help with allergies. And because it's very drying for people who have, like, runny eyes, runny nose, runny anything like that, sage can help stop that, right? So our pets can use all of these too, and they're safe. Nobody's going to get hurt by them, right? And you don't even actually, on any of those herbs I mentioned, have to worry about any contraindications with medications for yourself or your pets.
You know, strange thing that just came to my mind, and we're going to go to a break here, but, you know, some people are a little hesitant to give fish to their dogs. Fish is very good for a dog.
They love it.
It's very good for them. A lot of the and even stuff that maybe you don't necessarily want to eat, that you can strip off of fish, you know, might not be the most tasty thing in the world to you, but it could be very helpful to the dog. Fish oil, in fact, is one of those things that they give them all the time, because a lot of dogs can get dry skin. You know, it's one of those things they give them, and topically, coconut oil sometimes, but I don't mess with coconut because I'm allergic to it. But the thing is, the dog isn't. And fish, you know, most people think give fish to the cats. But no, you can give fish to the dogs, too. And it's actually very good for them, very healthy. Can contain a lot of minerals that they might not get through some of this other food, and especially the processed junk. But look, you know, desperate times, desperate measures. Got to do what you got
to
do.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you, listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and, like, the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, The pain just went away.
Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
What would I do? Revelation through conversation. In a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Revelation through conversation.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Uncle, do you remember that time when the year 2012 was going to create the apocalypse, end of the world?
Right. And it thought it would come to the end.
Did it ever end up that way?
No.
Yeah.
Like we say, the only way it will end is when he is ready for
That's
it
right.
to end. That's how it is.
So if you want the real truth about 2012, you better listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Radio broadcast.com.
Yeah, forget John Cusack.
John Cusack.
doesn't know what he's talking about.
Know what he's talking actually about. Correct.
But we here at the Ocelli Radio Network sure do.
Do you understand and understand where it's actually coming from?
Ocelli.com.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War.
By author Mike Swanson.
Well, this should be the second hour of the Ocelli Effect beginning now, but things got a little screwed up during the break. I tested everything. Everything was playing just fine. Until I went to break, and hopefully the broadcast is being received. Looks like it is. So I hope you guys are hearing us. I know some of you are because I see you in the chat room at Ocelli.com. Appreciate you tuning in and listening to us live. And, of course, also appreciate you catching the podcast. Anyways, we are talking to Christy Aphrodite tonight. I have at least one caller on the line who got to hear some of that behind-the-scenes nonsense as it was happening. And you could join us. See, and it wasn't nonsense caused by you, crazy lady. It was my equipment.
So, amazing. All right. I didn't mess up.
Nope. You did not cause the oddness in the room. So there you go. A break for you. Usually that's your job or mine, one or the other. But anyway, look.
Yeah, not, and I enjoy it.
I know you do. So it's always good. Look, we've gone through a lot of good information though tonight, a lot of good discussions, and hopefully they'll continue to expand. And we have kept a caller waiting now a while. Didn't mean to do that, but the break took longer than it should have, and a bunch of other things. So is what it is. If you want to join in, you listening live right now, it's about like 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 9:35 almost p.m. Eastern time. And we are going to go at least 15 minutes over our regular time tonight to make up for the fact that we started late. So if you're hearing us live, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016 is the number to call. Or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. I do have a couple of Skype messages. I'll check them in a minute. But you can join in and talk about the natural solutions and ideas about natural solutions that we've been talking to Christy Aphrodite about. And we do this usually every Tuesday, but we did have a couple of Tuesdays off for different reasons recently. So with that, you want to go to the caller, Christy, or you want to finish a thought from last hour or what?
No, let's definitely. I love having callers, questions in the chat or emailed, or because really, I'm here because I want to help you. I'm not here just to hear myself talk.
Right. I mean,
so, callers for sure.
Excellent. So let's go to the first one. Chris, you should be live if everything's working. Let's see. Sorry about the long wait. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good show so far. Seriously.
Hey, Chris. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing well. I just had a question for both of you. I was just wondering what both of your, if you had a take on the power of the mind, or the placebo effect, or mind over matter, and also you know, dreams, and if you ever did any dream journaling and tried to understand what dreams are and interpret them and things like that.
I love it. Yeah, so I don't know. Do you want to go, or I'm just like, oh my God.
Tell you the truth, I'm way more interested in what you have to say about that, because to me, he just opened up a very broad topic And then dropped a second.
Old Soul Journeys Radio.
Yeah, so go for it. I'll just sit back and soak this in. Go ahead.
Well, so, yeah, I'm super excited about everything you brought up because it is a major part of my life. And the placebo effect, I'm sure most people listening know that that's like an actual real thing, right? So I'm kind of a big advocate of people mind controlling themselves, so to speak, like to simplify it, right? Because we know that if we are aware that our thoughts at least partially contribute to our reality, and we are aware that there's other people who stand to gain in multiple ways by getting us to believe negative things, and we know they're using it against us through their mind control methods, when it comes to practicing mind over matter or things like that, like, just mind control our damn selves, right? So instead of listening to them and their negativity. But yeah, things like that have helped me in huge ways, obviously, because I was told I was supposed to die in 6 months. How old am I? A long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then I was supposed to never walk again. And that was a long time ago. And yeah, so and you asked about dream journals, and as far as my dreams, and I've definitely talked about this quite a bit, but I live my life through my dreams. I believe that my dreams are more real than this, and I mean, dreams can be many things, right? Whether they're, you know, foretelling of what's to come, or tapping into past lives, or living, or recollecting, or experiencing simultaneous. I don't even know what word to, you know, everybody has their words, right?
Alternate realities, possible other views.
Right, they're all great words, but it's so real to me that I can't use any of those words to define it, right? But yeah, I definitely wrote down my dreams for many years, and I would look back at it periodically months or years later because that's when it makes more sense, right? So if people are just starting that, I would definitely suggest don't just try to interpret every single dream, right? And definitely not the next day or unless you know, right? But if you're like, oh, what does this mean? Just write it down, let it go, and get back to it because that's how you're going to be able to understand what your dreams are actually about and what certain, you know, you could read a dream book, symbols or this and that, but it's not always the same for everyone, right? It's not universal. So, yeah, okay, I'll shut up now. I think I said enough, but yeah, I love that topic. Your turn, Chuck.
Well, no, I wanted to hear you speak more about the placebo effect and the idea that if you convince yourself of certain things, because, sorry, I was trying to eat something there, but.
Oh, okay, sorry, I'll let you eat, and then I'll do the placebo thing, and yeah, I'll give some real-life examples in my own life.
Yeah, a little more about that, because to me, this is a key thing where, you know, for me, I've not had the positive placebo effect necessarily, but in my own personal life, I have gone through the, I'm just not going to comply with what people are telling me is going to happen. like, as far as my eyesight goes, I'm sure I've told you, I'm supposed to have been blind, like, many times. Like, you know, finish the process totally in the dark. Yeah, I never get there because I refuse. And I've had a couple of other things where I've just sort of decided, yeah, even though that's supposed to happen, I'm not going to let it happen. So I've never been able to, like, you know, do the whole, well, gee, you know, I took a sugar pill and decided it was going to be an antibiotic. People try and tell me stories like that. I can't do that. But I can
tell
you.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. See, that when I say mind control yourself, you're programming your brain that you can't do that. And so whatever we believe we can or can't do, we're right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, again, so even if you think you're lying to yourself, Chuck, when you say you can't do certain things, just play a game with yourself. Pretend to mind control. Make, even if you're laughing at it and you're just saying it in your head, I really can do this. I can, you know, I can do this with ease. Or this is, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just try it. Like, pick one thing and try it for 2 weeks. And then let's pick this topic up, you know, after 2 full weeks of you having fun, playing a game, just doing a little experiment, mind controlling yourself.
No, fair enough. You and I had to have this conversation a couple of years ago. That's why I'm bringing it out now again. Because...
Well, good thing I have brain damage, because I don't remember what just came out of my mouth 5 minutes ago.
Cool, but...
It's just consistent then.
Oh, I'm terrible like this, because I'll remember conversations from 10, 15, 20. Verbatim, I'll remember stuff, right?
So well, that's great then. So you know... You know, more than anyone that I've been consistent.
Oh, exactly. No, but I literally have this stored in my brain where this is about really 3 years ago when you and I were directly working on stuff and you were telling me, you were trying to help me. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to give too many details, but you were not trying to help me. You were helping me. But anyways, you were helping me, and I was saying to you something about, you know, exactly this, where I said, look, I can't do this, and,
and I yelled at you.
And you yelled at me, and basically, you did it much gentler this time, but you did the same exact thing, where you said, like, when you calmed down, when you were done yelling at me, that's what I heard about, is what you need to do is, even if you're laughing at yourself, you need to just tell yourself this. Because this is the way it works. You're programming yourself.
Chuck! Yeah. Okay, so then you would know more than anyone. How did I get out of homelessness? How did I start walking and talking again? How did I heal myself despite all the experts and all the freaking drugs that didn't work and all the blah, 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 right? How? Let me tell you, it wasn't because I was juicing and had a great diet in my homelessness or because, you know? Like, that's, in fact, when I first came out of that situation and, you know, when I went down to Florida, I had 100% success rate, right? So I was kind of cocky, I guess, you know, like I really needed to be beat down and learn something new. So when I came out of that, nothing I previously knew worked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I had to learn the next level, which has to do with what Chris brought up. And, you know, he uses better words than me. But I had no crutches or anyone else to rely on. And I tried all of the normal ways, the doctors, the drugs, the this and that, and it didn't work. So I had nothing to lose. It was just words in my head. And, you know, here I am living my dream when anybody can go to my YouTube channel in 2015 where I'm begging and crying and saying, or even 2017, I'll never make it through this. I have no chance. Here's the facts. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can't blah, 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 blah. All of that stuff that I don't even want to say today because I don't even want to accept it into my reality. All of this, it did not come because I had assistance or because it was handed to me or because I took a magic pill or a magic supplement or any of that. When I healed myself in the tent in the mountains, it was my damn, I don't even want to call it mind over matter. I would say it was a melding of what I knew in my heart. And using that and my dreams and my knowing that I always doubted and commanding my mind, my brain, to carry out, to write a better story and carry that out. And I believed in it so much, even when I didn't, or even when I fell, or even when I was depressed, or even when I got screwed over again, or whatever. But ultimately, those were all lessons and tests, and how much did I believe this? And am I going to cave, or am I going to take this payoff, or am I going to just, you know, put up with this abuse, or this or that? No, that was 100%, you can use the word mind power, or mind over matter, or mind controlling yourself, or any, all of that. And it also is connected with what Chris brought up about dreams, because all this shit was written down. This, like, what I'm living today didn't just happen, you know? It was in my heart, my soul, my dreams, my entire life. Like, I knew that this was it, and that's why most of my road trips, I was on the road looking for that home. Like, I was looking for that place. I already saw it. I could describe it. I could, but it just, you know, so then I was wondering, is the dream world so real? Am I delusional? Am I, you know, like, let's think realistically, Christy, look at you. You're homeless and disabled and have no income. You're never gonna, you know... And that's what I believed for the first 40-something years of my life, right? So at that point, I had nothing. There was nothing to lose. It was words in my head. So I would suggest, if anyone is considering trying something that doesn't cost a single dollar, it doesn't taste disgusting, or you don't even have to go forage or anything... try words in your head and erasing the negative, self-defeating ones that we've programmed ourselves with. Yes, we were programmed by other people, I get it, but we're carrying it out. Mm-hmm. So choose to not carry out their programming. Be your master, the captain of your ship, right? Invictus, and go forth and write your own happy ending. Whatever that is. And if all it takes is a few words, even if you can only dedicate 5 minutes to your day. But I'll tell you, there's people I know, and I told them this, and they're like, yeah, whatever, whatever. And I'd like yell at them, it's words in your head, man. Okay? Right. And I'll just say, they are so much happier, and life is so much better. And it's a marked, visible improvement on every level from everyone I know who has done this earnestly. And I'm not talking law of attraction crap, FYI.
Mm-hmm. No, of course. That's the point. So this, by the way, Chris, is an example where I wound Christy up on purpose in order to...
I can tell.
This is where I do this little fourth wall break.
I figured you might have been, so I just wanted to humor you.
And I appreciate that. And she went right along with it. But look, the message is solid, and here's the thing. You have an option to deprogram and reprogram yourself. It's just that simple. Okay? Now, does that mean that instantaneously you're going to have the magical law of attract? Listen, a lot of people try and tell you this, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, but look.
It won't be instant, but it'll happen, and anyone who doubts that, look at my journey. Go back to my YouTube channel, 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then now. And how did that happen? And I... tell you, you know, then people don't watch, but that's okay. I'm just saying, how did this happen? And Chuck was there to see it. So you know, did I have my damn juicer with me in the back of my van? You know what I'm saying?
No, at certain points, I didn't know how you had anything going, because you were just, it was, look, if I would have
begging to die, I was begging to die.
Yeah.
Until I wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is you made a choice. And anybody listening to us right now has choices they can make, and they can program themselves, not just allow them to be at the whim of all the outside influences and people that might be more directly in your life who are going to discourage you and everything else. You can move forward with the right ideas, and they're the right ideas because you've decided they're the right ideas, and you make those ideas into the tangible. It's, you know, it's not that you just sit there and wait for it to happen, by the way. You got to actually take action, but...
So I just want to put a couple suggestions out there because I'm just exploding right now.
Go ahead.
And because I know people, I'm sorry, but I know people are like, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but in this negative state, how do I do this? So I'm going to tell you, go to YouTube and type in Brian Scott, okay? And so even if you just put on a video before you go to bed, or, you know, he reads a lot of excellent books from, say, Neville Goddard or Catherine Ponder, who I highly recommend. And let other people, or hang out with crazy people like me that are going to tell you how great you are. You know what I mean? So even if you believe you suck, life sucks, there's no hope, it's okay. I promise you, there still is hope. So if you don't have the power right now to program yourself with happy thoughts or whatever, you truly don't know what your dreams are or whatever, let other people like Brian Scott on YouTube, and there's other people, you know, that read excellent books like by those authors and others, and, you know, and let them program you. Play it when you go to bed, right? Instead of playing the news or... you know, death metal, because you want to kill everyone, Rage Against the Machine or something like that, right? Play something that will remind you of how powerful you are. And even if you don't believe that, look, if we're human beings, okay, you are capable of doing anything that anyone else has ever done anywhere. And even more than that, too, okay? So if anyone else has done something that you think you want or want to do in your life, then that's all you need to know that it's possible for you, right? So don't waste time, like, hating or being negative or depressed or this or that. Like, focus, really focus on what you want. Leave everything behind that's not in alignment with that. Everything and everyone. Anyone who doubts you on any level. And when you doubt yourself, it's okay. Just be more mindful so that you catch yourself and you can laugh at it and, you know, okay, thanks for being here, but I don't need you anymore. I'm unpacking that bag, and I appreciate that you were here to protect me in certain situations. And guess what? Some of those negative thinking probably were protecting you in certain situations, right? Like, I don't think I can do this sometimes equates to, I know in my soul I really shouldn't be doing this here, whatever this is, right? So don't, you know, forgive yourself for whatever you think that, you know, whatever it is that you can't let go or think that you missed opportunity or this or that. You are exactly where you're supposed to be at every given moment. This is a tough Earth school, and it's okay to be down on it, but really, like, for real healing and really tapping into the power, you have to feel it. You cannot suppress it anymore. That's where dis-ease comes from, okay? So your job is to find out what you are not at ease with, switch that, and follow your heart, period. End of story, okay? All right, that's my sermon for the day. Sorry, thanks.
There you go. So, Chris, question answered or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. There you have it.
One more thing. One more thing, though. Do you guys have any thoughts on dream catchers and that kind of concept?
Yeah, so wait, if you don't mind, I want to hear what you said, what you think about the same question you asked and then all of the bollocks that I just spit.
There you go.
Well, I'm a big believer in, I'm not really a believer in a lot of things, but I am a big believer in the power of the mind. And I've had experience, you know, I've had my ups and downs, like anyone else, but I know I'm capable of great things. I know I'm capable of not so great things, but I think a lot of the things that you were saying are things that I should apply more to my own life. And I thank you for that. But yeah, I always, and I don't mean like in a Tony Robbins kind of, you know,
right,
that kind of way. But I do believe that, because I've trained my brain in different things before, and I have overcome certain things. When it comes to the placebo effect, the same thing. I've been able to knowingly, consciously trick my brain. Like, my brain knows I'm tricking it, and I can still do it. I don't know how, but...
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, and the other thing was, with dreams and nightmares and all that stuff, I put some stock into that, you know. I mean, they just referenced it in the new Doctor Strange movie, but I actually thought this for, you know, decades now, that dreams are possible windows into other lives that we have in other realms and other yes. alternate realities. Yeah. I put a lot into that. And I also think that, I'll tell you this, with creativity, I consider myself a creative person, and I don't know where the ideas come from sometimes. It just kind of just, they sometimes it's like someone else is writing. Like, when I'm writing, it's like just coming out through the pen, you know? Like, it's like I'm a conduit for some kind of muse or something, you know?
Beautiful.
And I've always been fascinated with the collective unconsciousness, how people that don't even know each other, that are like on opposite sides of the planet, they have the same idea without actually, you know, copying each other or stealing or whatever. And I just feel like, you know, we have like a human internet, for lack of a better term, you know, I guess the collective unconsciousness. And dreams also, I feel like, they do represent, you know, different things, you know, possible problems that you're going to face or already have and haven't solved, or possible problems, not even problems, but possible scenarios, glimpses into other, you know, other people's past as well, you know, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, which, you know, I don't poo-poo that idea either, because, energy, and that's what I believe we're all made up of, is constantly being recycled, no matter what. So, I think I answered that.
I love it. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you guys as well.
You know, there was something else you said it was about your brain. And it didn't care, like, you know, it did it anyways. And that reminds me, there's a dude that does videos, David Snyder, and he uses his information from many years of training, clearly, to teach us how to program ourselves, right? Like NLP, and how to use it on ourselves, whether it's for pain relief. And by the way, his techniques are spot on. And yeah, what made me think of him when you said that, because he said, it doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters that you do it. Your brain doesn't care.
Yeah.
So you do it, and thy will be done, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I also think that the mind and the brain are two separate things, by the way. I believe the brain is almost like a radio transmitter. I believe the mind, I'm not really religious I'm spiritual to an extent, but I think the mind is something, like, I don't know if you want to call it a soul or a spirit, you know, what have you, but I do believe that the mind is a separate entity from the brain. I just think the brain is just meat, just like the rest of the vessel, you know? I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I don't know.
Right.
Can't back it up. But.
It seems to me as though it seems to me as though there's a bit of a feedback between the two things, where the brain can affect the mind and vice versa. But But ultimately, no, it's just a tool of the mind, and the mind is something that is, no matter how much people struggle with it, is somewhat outside of the realm of what is easily tangible. So,
yes,
you know,
perfect
to lay it down and say, oh, the mind is absolutely this. I don't think anybody can do right. that, because, you know, I've asked many times, okay, so define consciousness, right? And, yeah. you know, they go back
Dead
to
rocks.
The dictionary definition. Well, that is the state of being conscious. It's like, yeah, okay, good. You didn't define it. And that's the thing, is that, you know, what is the difference, say, between you are a physical entity which is conscious and another one which is not? You know, is there a difference? And also, you brought up that other concept that sort of, it's like the 12th monkey thing where, you know, somehow monkeys will learn something from a group of monkeys that they are not even geographically connected to. And people do this where, indeed, there are simultaneous ideas that occur. You didn't need to network. You didn't need to have the communications. You didn't need the internet. And an idea actually spreads without the standardized communication. Some people refer to it as the Christ consciousness. And it's not because of the, you know, the character there in the book. It's it's about, you know, being the anointed, the elevated one. And therefore, you know, there's an elevated state of consciousness where there could be communications that occur. And I think that right. that's, you know, one of those things, again, that can't be quantified and classified perfectly through the rather blunt instrument that is our language. So
right.
there's a great deal more to it that can't be articulated necessarily, but does have an effect, does exist, and you can see it in again, its effects. Not necessarily nail it down, put it in a bucket, and say this is how much it weighs. You know, you can't necessarily measure it or classify it with absolute certainty. There's always going to be parts of this thing, which is the mind or the consciousness, that are not, again, relegated to that which can be easily communicated. But it's still there. Has an effect and does,
or even what they say is like, creative people, they say you better use that idea now because someone else is going to get it if you don't. And I've seen it a lot.
Well,
especially
people,
in particular in movies, even.
Well, people try to reason it away as like, well, eventually there's only so many combinations of things that people will put together, right, into equations to create
right.
the next. You know, whatever it might be, good. Movie scripts is a good example because, look, there's only so many ideas. You're going to shoot a movie about people or things or a place, so there's only so many, you know, it's a finite amount of places. It's a finite amount of...
And that's true, so, but the only way to make it different is to make it your own. You're absolutely correct. But I mean, like, even like just concepts in general. It doesn't even have to be a movie thing, just a concept thing, let's say, that you might be able to, you know, make a buck off of, make a living off of, you know, if you don't pick up the ball.
No, certainly. I've seen people that have had ideas that seem to, you know, we've all known somebody who goes, I had that idea before, you know, before I saw it here or whatever. It could be about a toy or it could be about a piece of music or it could be about whatever, where they go, I had that idea. You know, I should have done something with it. And I would say that, no, there is a collective, a point of conversion where, again, it's not quantifiable and it's not necessarily, I mean, I could get into some of the specifics on this and some of the techniques that some people claim that are absolutely, you know, part of the equation, like the Akashic Library and things like this. I don't necessarily subscribe or refuse their ideas on this, you know, wholeheartedly. I'm ambiguous about it because some of this stuff is things that I've encountered one way or another, not necessarily fully understood personally. But I would say that there is a point of collective knowledge, a point of collective consciousness that can be accessed by nearly anybody. But at the same time, we don't access it as a constant.
Or we don't listen.
Yeah.
Right. We poo-poo it, or we're like, oh, I'll remember that. I'll get to it later, and don't write it down or whatever, and then it's gone.
That's why I write it everything down. I've been writing everything down for 20-something years because every one of those ideas could be, and it's going to sound, I don't want to sound like money grubbing or whatever, but that one of those ideas could be the million-dollar idea.
You never know.
Get me out of a car, finally. You know what I'm saying?
So, well, look,
I write everything down.
Million-dollar idea, or the thing that changes the world, or the thing that just changes your life. I mean, you never know what combination of circumstances could come together so that an idea, a particular piece of input, you know, that you got from wherever you got it from, could be relevant and could be the thing that changes, you know, everything, one way or another.
Right.
Right. So, no, I get it. By the way, Chris is still working with me on the book concept. I've only got chapter one edited for everybody, just in case. But working on the next part, and actually it's one of the things I dread, is working on the next part of the book. And might be looking for an additional audience member for that. So if anybody wants to contact me about it and participate in the recording of the next section, please do. blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com. The reason why I bring this up now is because it's relevant to actually what Chris was asking about. It's my life story I'm still working on, but also I'm working on the potential for some other of these rough audiobooks, and I think it's going to be the type of thing that will, if it serves the purpose I hope it does, inspire people to understand that they have the ability to escape that which may appear to be a certainty in the trajectory for your life. You know, they say at certain points that maybe you're a lost cause, you have to surrender to your circumstances or anything else. The overall purpose for me telling my life story is to disprove that and explain that you don't have to accept the programming. You don't have to accept the alleged fate that many others might even figure is just for you. That's where you're going. That's how you're going to end up. You might have heard that a lot in your life, and it's not true. So
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Nope. So not just saying that to you, Chris. Just saying overall, that's one of the things that I'm trying.
Trying
to illustrate.
I was thinking out loud. I gotta work on that.
no problem. But I mean, and also we're working on a show too. So Chris, we got some graphics, a few other things together. So you know, stick around. Chris might have a show on here himself in the near future. Let's put it that way. Okay. So just wanted to get those two things in there, but. And his exploration is certainly going to be different than mine, and I think it's all worthy of a listen. How's that? So anyway, Christy, sorry about that. I just wanted to go into that little subject for a moment. We're running a little low on time, so I'm thinking we got about another 7 minutes or so. I don't know if you want to continue about this discussion, or we haven't had another caller, so guess nobody else wanted to join in tonight, but maybe you want to tie a bow on a couple of things, or complete a few thoughts from earlier or something?
I can't really think of a thing. It's whatever you want to hear more about or clarification of, or any new questions are totally fine.
Well, fair enough. I guess we can put it back on Chris. Anything else you want to add into here, or should we go with what's in front of us? It's up to you.
I just have one question, because for a part of the show, I unfortunately had to step out, and I didn't know if you guys answered this in your discussion about the food situation coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you guys make any kind of educated guesses in terms of when the worst of the worst might be upon us when it comes to the shortages and the chaos or anything like that?
Well, I would say, in fairness to anybody on this call, none of us has a direct line, sadly, to the people that really control that.
Spoke about my own personal experience and others in this region due to the severe
the drought. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that I'm seeing different things emerge all over the place, not just in Christie's area, not just in mine, but all over the country that make it quite obvious that we're going to have, you know, not just supply chain issues coming up soon, but a lot of issues with literal shortages. That
we're already, like I said, the hay and the straw and the feed and, you know, again, the high temps and wells running dry.
Are they still having fires?
See, but average. Oh, yeah, of course they are. It's not headline news, but, yeah, okay. we have the same, you know, there are fires and there are also places where things are flooding. That's a constant, but right
planes
now it's
crashing into them.
Yeah, look, it's not right now. It's not grabbing the headlines like it did, say, last year or the year before, but it's still happening. I would say that, you know, keep your eyes peeled because there's a lot of things happening now that, you know, Christie's talking about hay and feed and all that. Well, the average person at the grocery store is just seeing, you know, prices tick up and that's it. And in some places, yeah, I see reports that, you know, the shelves are short and this and that, but it's not that bad. We could see a drastic change in that over the next couple of months if there is a literal physical shortage of things being produced that, you know, again, people are not necessarily considering are going to cause those shortages, but they will. And I also feel as though we're about to face an exponential price increase toward the end of this year on everything that sustains us. I mean, we're already seeing a serious spike in energy prices, not just at the gas pump, but frankly, I've got a doubled electric bill. And I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to figure out how to cut it down. And I can't.
Right.
It's, you know.
See, I moved.
That's where mind over matter comes in now.
Like, I'm basically in one room right now, and I put heavy blinds on all the windows. I'm basically living in a cave, so I can just focus on keeping this one area cool. And I'm, you know, clearly that'll, you know, help.
Well,
you know,
help.
Reduce costs instead of living upstairs and down. You know, why would I need to do that?
Listen, it'll help, and people are going to probably cut down, you know, different parts of their home. You know, you don't need to use the den. Don't use the den. Block it off, and don't keep it cold. If you don't have anything in there you need to preserve, let it
right,
be warm.
Block your vents. Well, my food that was in warm places, I brought it all with me. I have all the animal feed. Mm-hmm. I have my, you know, it's all right in this cool area, period, and I'm just going to get through summer like this.
Well, people are going to consolidate. They're going to change their, you know, plans as far as travel. I mean, there's going to be a lot of alterations in the decisions people are making, but I think at the end of the day, it's only going to be to slow the increased pressure on prices because, frankly, we've cut down what we used in my home a bit, and still I'm paying way more than I was to keep things going. So it's like, look.
And then when it gets to farming and crops, like one thing we didn't discuss is, you know, I mean, we brought up the price of gas, right, for the average person, but how much do you think the farmer is using? And if the crops produce, they're going to be, you know, trucked to us all in those higher gas prices, right? So, yeah, I mean, I can't answer your question specifically, Chris, but I'm just going to say, based on what I know and see and am experiencing now, it's going to be a tough winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be trends and stuff.
It'll be no surprise if everything trends upward price-wise and if scarcity increases on a bunch of things, which, again, will contribute to a natural price increase. You know, across the board when it comes to, again, the stuff that's going to be essential. And make no mistake, these added heat waves, these are not going to be, you know, cost-free as well. So, I mean, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. I'll tell you, I'm also using a lot more water, which I didn't expect.
Right. And look, if the power grid supposedly can't handle winter, which people are running way less heat in Texas than we're all running air conditioners right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are they to reserve those outages for winter? Because if so, I'm cool with that. But I'm super worried about summer and, you know, making it through. There, I know multiple people without air conditioners or can't afford to fix them or can't get anyone to show up to help them fix it or just, you know. And these are definitely heat-related death temperatures for humans and animals.
Well,
so,
typically, you know, typically in past years, I would say that August is usually your trouble month for this.
Why? And we started in June.
Yeah, we're not even there. 2 months early, we're having those, you know, lethal levels of temperature. With high, you know, with really high humidity, which causes anybody with respiratory issues to have extra issues in a lot of parts of the country that don't normally experience this. So
heat stroke, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, I'll tell you what, it's hard. Like people, oh, you're just watering the garden. You know, no, it ain't like that, man. I'm up and down that hill repeatedly with a 300-foot-long hose right. that I have to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's hard work. Sweating my eyeballs. I have to come in and cool off for a second and then go back out, move it again, wrestle a goat, you know, pull more weeds, go, I have the machete. I got to go chop their food.
Well, yeah. And I hate to end it on a down note tonight, but I'll tell you, No, don't be sorry about it. Look, we all got to be aware, and it's not about being down about, you know, necessarily where things are going. I mean, no matter which direction things are going in, you know, try and prepare yourself and brace yourself in advance for whatever is coming.
Well, that's where the mind over matter thing comes on, you know, right now. Like, tell yourself it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Right, but I think we have to do more than just tell our. I mean, definitely, that's.
No, I know.
People, please, if things can grow, anything can grow in your yard, just do it. Make friends with, if your local farmers are still growing stuff, make friends with them now. Support them now, because they're going to be all you have. Maybe soon, depending on where you are, right? I'm not speaking universally for everyone, but people who live in places like I do, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, yeah. And all I'm saying is that no matter who you are, where you are, it's best to try and be prepared as possible for the fact that things might get scarce and things are going to be more expensive. So, I mean, you know, we've been saying this for the past, you know, year. But I'm seeing some tangible price pressures which are going to come up, some tangible literal, you know, quantity pressures. There's going to be scarcity. Right. There's going to be problems.
And the fact that we can't grow anything.
And we're having trouble.
Yeah, there's that.
Right. And we're having troubles growing things on small scales, which means what? You lean harder into the greater industrial farming complexes. And yeah,
more packaged food, more GMOs, more chemicals, more, you know, more crickets, more Soylent Green.
So meanwhile, I'm going to tell you this. Go to mytrueessence.net. Go check out what's over there. Of course, there are plenty of solutions over there. And pretty sure Christie's got that stuff stocked up. But you never know where scarcity might hit next. Also, go to christieaphrodite.com. Tons of information over there. Check out all of Christie's work, all the ideas that she presents. Her journey itself is educational, and hopefully you learned something from tonight's discussion. Thanks, Christie.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Chris.
And thank all of you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank all of you for listening. I am Merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.
Revelation through conversation.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.